I invite you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, passage that was read for us a couple of times already thus far, as a passage we'll be preaching from this morning. I just love it when stuff like that happens. You know, this passage was picked out long ago, and then we have Jordan and Cassia reading this for their daughter. I'm grateful for this body, this congregation, as we enter 2019 together. May the Lord be gracious to break us and to heal us. May he be gracious to slay us and then raise us again in order that we might bear kingdom fruit in abundance. We are united under one head, who is Jesus Christ. And in his grace, we enter a new year. I too am glad for Pastor Dave that he was able to preach this last Sunday. Though our family was gone, I was able to hear him in the recording there. It took tremendous courage to even enter the pulpit for him. And I am thankful, faithfully exhorting us to find consolation in Christ in the darkest of times. So today, we turn to a passage that says, "Rise, arise, for the light has risen upon us." We celebrate Epiphany today. This is the 12 days after Christmas. That's where the song comes from. On the 12th day, it actually happens to be on Sunday this year, we celebrate the light of Christ that has shone is now going out into the nations. And the nations are streaming to that light. That's Epiphany. As the Magi sought the light of God's glory, so all nations will be streaming to the light of Christ, who came on Christmas morning. So we're going to look to that light this morning, as we invite the world around us to come to that same light which we bow before, which we honor and glorify. Let's do that now. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Living Word of God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing unto you. Would you open our eyes that we might behold the glories of Christ which are revealed in your scriptures, that your light might shine in us and through us to a watching world. It is in the strong name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Now, since the fall in the garden, there has been darkness, and it affects every facet of creation. A shadow looms large over all of creation, and humanity has always been looking for light, searching, longing for light. So, chapter 60, verse 2 of Isaiah is right on, isn't it? Look at verse 2. "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." It's weighty. Thick darkness. The darkness. Void, emptiness, isolation. Now, these are frightening experiences, which we all taste from time to time. Now, Isaiah is writing to a particular people about a particular darkness that is going to come upon Israel. He is writing about the exile, which is soon to take place. By soon, I mean 170 years or so after he writes. And he's writing about the light of God coming upon them to rise up. People hearing the voice of Isaiah the prophet are living in relative peace when he's saying these things. But the generations coming, what they will know is this. They will know isolation of a foreign land. They will know emptiness of home and hearth which have been demolished. They will know void of faithful religious practice. They will know darkness of God's seeming absence. Darkness will cover the earth. Now, we all know the fear and the doubt associated with darkness from our childhood to life as adults. And in Scripture, the image of darkness is quite common, and it's most commonly used to represent those who reject God as their creator. From being cast out of the garden into a land of darkness to the storm clouds of 40 days rain, darkness was covering the earth. When God's glory departed the temple a couple of times, the lampstands were extinguished and darkness reigned. John 3 records this, saying, "And this is judgment. The light has come and people loved the darkness." In fact, the most common description of hell is not fire, it is darkness. So, the light comes. in the midst of darkness. Though people still love the darkness, the light enters in. Christmas is true. The light has risen and Christ comes to us. The light enters darkness, enters a world consumed by darkness and disbelief. So here's the question I've been thinking about. How do you live when you anticipate darkness coming? That's Isaiah's people he's writing to. They're saying there's darkness coming. There's darkness coming. How do you live when you know darkness is about to drop? There's no doubt that fear and dread ride in our hip pockets as we imagine countless scenarios of suffering when we think of darkness descending. We might also be tempted to find flickers of light in other distractions. Isaiah prophesies so that God's people would turn their eyes upon the light of God in the midst of darkness. Whether they're squinting to see it or with wide-eyed wonder beholding the splendor of his light, he says, look to the light. It will rise upon you in the darkness. Turn your eyes upon the light. Look at verses 4 and 5 of our passage. Not only does he begin, arise and shine, for your light has come, but he says, lift up your eyes all around and see. Verse 5, then you shall see and be radiant. Okay, so this is what every Hallmark is endeavoring to find. Every Hallmark movie wants this, okay? Every sporting event is working hard to capture this. Every art museum seeks to relish in this. What is this? It is the light of glory that makes the heart leap. You know the moment at the end of the Hallmark movie where they kiss in front of the tree? Boom, the heart leaps for some of us. God enters darkness, and for a season that is enough. God is, in fact, with us. He is near us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And though our land may lie barren, it may lie fallow, as the farmland around us even does now, God promises his spirit is at work. Isaiah 60 is our passage, but Isaiah 61 reads this. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before nations. God's people are to be his garden. Though we may not see evidences of his life, there is trust that the Spirit is working to germinate, to water, to grow his life in the life of his people. The light has come, arise and shine. So, Christmas celebrations have ended. We got to go back to school tomorrow. 2018 may have been, difficult. So here's the deal. I don't know what darknesses you face right now. I don't know the deep darkness that has descended in your life or will soon descend in your life. But know this. Whatever your darkness, know this. You are loved and you are not alone. My boys and I went to the World Theater Friday night to watch the fourth installment of Harry Potter. And at the end of the movie, the world that the author's created changes dramatically. The villain has risen to power again, and there is doom and destruction closing in. And that's where the story ends, for that story. But what happens at the end is that our hero, Harry Potter, is in his room ready to head out from school to a place that's not friendly to him. The headmaster visits him, and they have a brief chat about how life is different now and darkness is coming. But we must live in that and hope that light is coming. What he says at the very end, the last, he can't change it. The only thing the headmaster can do is he can speak to our hero and he can say, look, you have friends here. You are not alone. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. He says, I have called you friends. He says, a friend lays down his life for another. It is no small gift that the Savior of mankind calls you friend. He enters into our darkness, and whatever that darkness is, know this. You are loved, and you are not alone. We believe it, but how can we know? How can we know it's true? Well, look at verse 2. The end of verse 2 says, "But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Remember, he's writing to people who are not yet in exile. Then he's writing to generations who are in exile. As they hear the words, they have to just trust that God will be faithful. He will arise. His glory will be seen. And they can trust that because God never breaks his covenant. Just before our passage, at the end of chapter 59, God says this. He says, "This is my covenant, my spirit that is upon you, and my words shall not depart." Right before he commands people to arise and to shine, he says, "My covenant is forever. I have promised to be your God and you to be my people. I will never break that. You are not alone, and you are loved." So, contrary to what the evening news would have us believe, not all is darkness. Though deep darkness has descended and will descend, not all is dark. We do not serve a blind watchmaker who has wound up the cosmos and then fell asleep on the watch. Rather, we have a God who enters, who arises upon his people in a world saturated with darkness. Now, for Israel, this meant that exiled darkness, it would be shattered by the glory light of God's appearing to return them to their promised land. What that meant is that nations who destroyed God's people would themselves be destroyed. The light of his glory means that the enemies whom Israel had to serve would now be serving them. That's the passage about the camels of Midian. You know, they don't know much about camels. That's their bringing their wealth to the people that they were trying to kill and destroy. So Israel is to look. The light of God will arise. It shall arise. He's faithful to his covenant. He will not let you go. And so he commands verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." It's really the story of Israel's history here, and it's a picture of our stories as well. When from the beginning of creation, God says, "Be fruitful and multiply, take dominion over the earth." What that is a command to shine the image and the glory of God. Where we then image him in our creative work, it all reflects God's creative work. Our just government reflects his justice. Faithful stewardship represents his faithfulness. So two things are commanded here. The first thing is to arise. Arise. God has laid Israel low. God has done it in order that he might raise them up. The exile is all about the father disciplining his beloved son, which is the people of God. Not out of spite, but in love. And he will raise them more glorious than before. Isaiah's word, it's actually a gift to sustain the people. It's like, it's a gift to Elijah as well. It's a reminder that he has called, he has shown his light in the darkness, that we are to arise now and walk forward in service to our king. So God rose faithfully upon the people who were in exile in Babylon. A new king was raised up who would send the people of God home. And what he did was he sent wealth. The wealth of the nations went with the people so that they could rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. So when God's glory arises upon us, the first call is a call to action, to rise. Aliyah. Arise. Go and serve. Whenever he commands people to arise, think of Jacob. Remember when he wrestled the angel? And he was laid low? When God called him, he said, "Rise up. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but your name shall be Israel." So it is whenever he calls us to rise up, it's a new beginning. It's a new creation. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So though it's fearful to encounter the living God and fearful to follow his lead to an uncertain future, when God shows up, we arise. For he calls us to new life. We arise in order to shine. That is simply to live out the light of God's glory. The chapters surrounding ours, 59, 61, those around them, those chapters commend care for the poor and for the widow, to watch for the foreigner, the outcast. It calls for righteousness and ritual worship, for justice in government. It's the basic call to love God and to love neighbor. This is what it is to shine. Even Jeremiah, the prophet who writes after Isaiah, says this. writing to people in exile. He says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. Seek the welfare of the city that's foreign to you, okay? Seek the welfare and pray to the Lord on the city's behalf, for in its welfare is your welfare. This is what it is. He's saying, shine. Shine where I send you. Arise and shine in the midst of deep darkness. Shine. Whatever the next year looks like for us and for each of us individually, remember our primary vocation is to rise and to shine forth the light of Christ for the world to see. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. This is our vocation. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. Why? That they might see Christ. It's beautiful. So how do we shine? How do we shine? See, Christ has risen upon us. And as he rises upon us, we're like the moon that reflects the image of the sun. That's what our task is. There's no pressure. It's beautiful. We just seek to reflect the image of the sun who has risen upon us. And that's what Christmas, we celebrate Christmas, because it reminds us that the light enters into darkness and shatters the darkness. We are to shine as his reflection. We remember that he is risen and he ascends, and it secures the light of God in this darkness. He is the first fruits of resurrection. So the call to arise, we just hide ourselves in Christ and we rise in him. And here it is, the body of Christ, the church, actually becomes the light to the world. You are the light of the world, says Jesus. We in this body and those bodies of Christ around our community, we stand upon the shoulders of those who have gone before us, and the light of Christ has shone for generations. We just stand upon those shoulders, seeking to be faithful to what he calls us to in the midst of our circumstances. And his light shines for us in the sacraments, which we memorialize Christ even today, calling us unto himself, feasting us at his table. These actions are reminders for us, but they're more than that. They are an act of prayer. You have called us to yourself. You have saved us. You have washed us. Wash us, cleanse us today. You have fed us, nurture us, give us peace at your table. How do we shine? Do we need firmer resolve, greater creativity, a stronger will? Verse 4 says it well. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all come together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on the hip. The promise of restoration. But he says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see. Israel was to do that in exile. They are to look around and see how God has acted. He has been faithful to his promises. He is disciplined in order to cleanse. He is exiled in order to reform. And he returns them that they might bear fruit, just as he said he would. His glory consists much in his faithfulness. We must lift our eyes, look around, and see. So one way to do that, and this is a good time, of course, as the new year starts, but how has God revealed himself to you this past year? How have you beheld the light of his glory? Just take a few moments to reflect on this previous year and jot down. This is what it is to give honor to God for his work in your life. Some of those remembrances will be filled with sorrow and tears, and some of them with great joy. But it is all of his glory. So that simple act is only this. It is to behold the glory of Christ when he carries us to the valley of the shadow of death, when he raises us to the mountains of joy. His glory is found therein. Okay, well, that's nice, but what does it matter in the scope of things? Like, what does it really matter? What's at stake here for the people of God to look upon the glory of Christ? What is really at stake? Lift your eyes all around, verse 4, and see. He will bring them back. Verse 5. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. What's at stake here is the life of the world. Jesus says in John, in the Gospel of John, it's recorded, Jesus says he gave his life as bread. Passage about the bread of life, right? He gave his life as bread, but why? He gave his life as bread for the life of the world. What's at stake in this passage is the life of the world. This isn't just to bolster up a small people. It's to bolster us up, give us courage to go out in the light of Christ that others might see his light and come to him. Earlier in Isaiah, what is pictured for us is a mountain of God that is established and built up. And what it pictures is that the nations, all the nations, will be streaming to this mountain to worship their God and give honor and praise to his name. So the promise in chapter 60 is this, that God's people are to shine as light on the mountain of his glory. And as they shine faithfully, the nations will stream to the mountain. The nations will stream to the mountain. That's what in verse 5, the abundance of the sea, that's an image of the Gentiles. The nations will be flooding to the mountain of God. Nations, Gentiles, will flood to God's people. And the light of his glory, which emanates from his people, will draw them in. It's this, we, the people of God, go out, and the people of the world come in. Christmas has dawned. The sun has risen upon us. Christ is the light of God, whose glory has come. Just as the Magi traveled from the nations, streaming to see this baby Jesus, so peoples from all nations will continue to stream. That Matthew 12 passage, it's a picture of what God is doing in Jesus Christ. All nations are even now streaming to him. Christ is that mountain from which living stones are hewn to be built into the temple of God. We are the church who are built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, who become the living stones, who become the living temple mountain of God. See, Israel was always supposed to be the light of God to the world. And they always failed. We too will fail. Nations, the world, have been given light. And yet, love the darkness. We too will love darkness. And yet here in 2019, we, the body of Christ, are called to arise and shine the light of Christ because he is arisen upon us. All nations will stream to Christ. All nations will one day bow down in the light of his glory. All tongues will one day confess that he is Lord. And they will bring with them, all of these nations will bring with them the wealth of their existence, those camels from Midian and Ephrah, their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh. Nations will come and give all of their goods to the King, Christ, who is the King. And that is us as well. We arise and shine as we come to the light of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ, that we too submit all that we are and all that we have into his service. So we end with this question. How will we in 2019 arise in the light of Christ? How will we in 2019 shine the light of Christ's glory? At the very least, arise means we will go out into the world in his grace, his mercy, and his love. We, having feasted at his table, will simply go out, and our lives and our lips will invite others in and say, taste and see that the Lord is good. At the very least, we're challenged by this passage to speak directly of Christ, his goodness, and his glory throughout this year. And the thing is, when the Magi came, did you see how it said, what was their response when they came? They come before the King, who is this child, and they come joyfully. See, that's the reality, that we live in a world of darkness, of deep, deep darkness. But the light of Christ's glory shatters the darkness. So we don't fear that. Rather, the way that we shine the light of Christ is to enter into the darkness in joy. Oh, there is much to be sorrowful about. There is many hurts and much pain. But that is not the end of the story, for Christ has arisen. And he has ascended to the throne. And he sits as King over all creation so that we can now arise in the light of his glory. And as we arise, we go forth confidently in the peace that he has given us. Confident that as we call to a watching world, they will come, and we together will feast on the goodness, the grace, the mercy, and the love now and forevermore. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have given us your Son, who is the light of glory. And now as we come to prepare us to meet with your people at your table, would you feast us, strengthen us, that we might depart in peace. Would your light be ever before us? Give us eyes to see and hearts to respond, that we might shine forth your glory to a watching world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I invite the ushers to